Each week at this time, we delve into the world of relationships. And even though it's a holiday, we're going to stick with that today because sometimes after a long weekend with the family, we need all the help we can get when it comes to relationships. Tara Whitewood is our relationship coach. She's with the Sugar Doctor. Good morning. Good
morning, Kaya.
Did you have a nice Easter?
I had a fabulous Easter. I did.
Good.
With my little family, so my dogs and you know, my family. And then some extended family. We had a lovely lunch and all the eggs and all of those things.
I feel like Easter is becoming more and more like Christmas. Like I felt this year like there was a lot of pressure to do big feasts, big things.
Yeah,
over
it's crazy. I see people buy, and you know, this is, in my humble opinion, it's crazy. people buying their kids like proper gifts, like Christmas gifts,
yeah.
Like you said, and you know, it always used to be eggs, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe you'd eat some fish, but it wasn't a big deal,
right?
And when someone turned to me and was like, "So what are you cooking?" I was like, "Nothing. What are you cooking?"
Whatever I have in the fridge because the shops are closed.
Well, that's it. Yeah. Oh, we have no milk. Sorry about that. Hey, we talk every week. Every week we talk about the word communication and we just throw it out there as if we all know exactly what it means. Is it more complicated than that?
Hugely more complicated than that. There's this quote that I love and I think it kind of captures that really beautifully, and it's George Bernard Shaw, who said that the single greatest problem in communication is the illusion that it's taken place. And that happens so often, right? You're like, I've been so clear. I've told them exactly what I think or exactly what I want, and in reality, you actually have not.
Yeah.
And the message hasn't landed at all.
Are we naturally good communicators, or is this something we have to learn and work on?
I think some people have a more of a natural talent for that. Maybe it's that they're more emotionally intelligent. Maybe that it's they're more sort of receptive to physiological cues from other people, and they get better feedback from other people. But I think that everyone could do with some upskilling in this area, myself included. It's something that I'm continually learning. You know, I spent a lot of my life thinking that I was a really great communicator, and it's been in the last sort of 5-6 years that I've been doing this kind of work that I realized I actually wasn't at all. I was, you know, I was articulate, but that didn't mean that my message was always being delivered well.
What is good what does a good communicator look like? What should we be aiming for?
I choose to believe that I am 100% responsible for the results of my communication. So I think that a good communicator is someone whose message is received in the way that they intended it, no matter who they're speaking to. So that means you have to be a bit flexible sometimes. It doesn't mean just saying the same thing in the same way every time. It means making sure that the person you're speaking to really understands your intention and your message. Yeah.
Yeah, which can be hard because that's the one part that's out of your control a little bit is
right?
How what you say is received. Even if you've tried to say it in the best way possible,
absolutely.
That is the one part of communication that is completely out of your control.
Yes, and it's the most important part because if your message is not being delivered, then have you really communicated at all, you know? So it's a matter of being able to do it in a number of different ways so that ultimately that person does understand.
Does communication in relationships just mean talking, or can it mean more than that?
I think it's talking with purpose. So many, many people say that they communicate a lot. You know, yeah, we're always talking about things. And what they're actually doing is they're having the same conversation over and over and over again, and they're just digging themselves into a rut, and it creates that kind of like gridlock, like that sensation that nothing's ever changing, you're not solving anything. So, yeah, you're talking with each other, but are you really purposeful about it? So I think that there are some really key areas of communication in an intimate relationship and also with your friends and family that are really important, and those are giving and receiving feedback.
Yeah, let's start there.
Yeah,
because that can be I'm glad you put receiving in there as well, because I think some of us are really good at being like, why did you do this and you didn't do this and you didn't do that, but it's important for us to listen to what we're getting back from our partners
in
feedback.
That's hugely challenging. Every time I work with a couple, I spend a lot of time with them on their managing their emotional state. So being able to be in a position where you can hear feedback and not get defensive.
Because it's not always personal, right? Like, it can be, but it doesn't always have to be taken with that, oh, well, they're attacking me.
That's right. And I think that you need to presume that it's not an attack. But sometimes it is, right? Sometimes it is. But that's not helpful if you presume that it is. If you sit back and you think, okay, hey, what's the kernel of truth in this? Like, what is the part of this that I can take away and implement or learn from?
Mm.
And then sometimes there's other contexts where you get the feedback and you're like, no, that's not true. That's not right. That doesn't land with me at all. And it's okay to put that to the side as well. You don't have to take on everyone's feedback, but I think that you need to listen to it.
How do you give good feedback? What's the way to do that?
Good feedback comes from an emotionally neutral place. So good feedback rarely happens actually in the moment. It needs to happen around the moment. Like, don't leave it too long. Don't leave it days or weeks or years. You know, it's like the annual review in your workplace.
Yeah.
That some businesses still do. Not all that helpful. If I tell you 12 months later, hey, Kyra, it would have been cool if you did this. You're like, well.
But that was in January.
That was in January, you know, and you haven't had the opportunity to actually do anything about that.
Yeah.
Where if it's within, say, 24 hours, I just, the timing is tricky.
Take the heat out of it. When the heat has cooled a little bit,
yeah.
But it's still on everyone's brain.
That's right. So someone still has an opportunity to go, oh, okay, wait, I know exactly the moment that you mean because it was this week. I remember that. And I'm hearing what you're saying about that now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you have to be specific with your feedback?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. And really, really, again, verbally neutral about it. So not, you did this and you're, you know, no judgy.
Take the judgment out of it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. When this happened, when we had that thing.
Hey, I noticed that this happened this week. Yeah. This...
And how it made me feel was this. But feedback's also positive. You know, it can be, hey, yesterday when you introduced me to your family and you were smiling and you looked really happy, I felt really great.
Mm.
I felt like we were really a team and I felt really appreciated and I really felt part of the day.
I'm so glad that you mentioned positive feedback because I think we do, you know, we're busy and we don't celebrate successes nearly enough in any part of our life, but especially in relationships.
Huge. And so I think some people think of feedback as this method by which they'll attain perfection. If I continue to tell you when you wash the dishes, you didn't quite stack them right, or, you know, maybe next time and you know, I'll continue to give you feedback and then you'll be perfect. And it's not that. It's like, I'll continue to give you feedback until you understand my position on that. And I can hear that you understand my position on that. And then beyond that, there's some other conversations that have to happen because your feedback doesn't automatically mean that someone will do or stop doing something.
Yeah, that's it. So we are 13 minutes away from 10 o'clock. You're listening to ABC Newcastle with Kyra Hanley, my guest, as always, Tara Whitewood, relationship coach with The Sugar Doctor. We're talking communication. We have now given it. How do we receive it?
Receiving, I think, is about saying yes. So, like, I literally do it. I literally, when someone starts to give me feedback, I take a deep breath and I'm like, just listen. Mm. Just, you know, it doesn't matter what it is, just be open to it and absorb it. And then I have the opportunity to take it away and decide what I want to do with it afterwards. So I nod my head.
Yes.
I'm like, yes.
Okay, I hear you.
I hear you, yes.
Put the phone down, pay attention, have that eye contact,
right? Be present. Yep. And know that someone's giving you feedback for a purpose and that you may learn something from it. I mean, you know, there are so many contexts around this. It's really hard to be.
It's hard to be general and it changes with every piece of feedback.
That's right. And so sometimes someone gives you feedback and you're like, this is not your space. I don't care what you think. I'm just going to leave that.
Goodbye. Yeah.
Goodbye. Walk away.
But that is also listening, right? And processing it through that filter.
Yes.
Because we don't have to be perfect. We won't be perfect.
Sorry, never.
We don't have... No. Not just me. We don't have to take feedback from other people on our relationships either because they don't know what's going on.
No one has the full picture of what's happening for
you. So part of receiving that is going... Thank you so much. And then letting it go out one ear, out the other. And that is all you do with it.
Thank you. Really appreciate your feedback. Move on. Just let it go. So that's, again, part of managing your emotions is being able to not, you know, then fume all day about that thing that person said to you and they were wrong and it's unjust and, you know, but just let it go and walk away.
All right. So we've given and received feedback. I know another point that you think is really important with communication is asking for what you want in a relationship. And this can be... in so many levels, from, you know, the bedroom to financial, I guess. And it's tough to do.
Vegetables, yeah. You know.
To gardening.
Know what you want.
So what you're going to do with your day today.
That's right. Know what you want and ask for it clearly. So a really nice guide for this, I think, comes from Brené Brown, who I love, who has just released a show on Netflix. Everyone should watch it. It's about courage. She says, clear is kind, unclear is unkind. And she goes on to say that most of us avoid clarity because we tell ourselves that we're being kind, but what we're actually doing is being unkind and unfair. So expecting someone to do a mind read, you know, it's that whole classic, how are you? Is everything okay? I'm fine.
Do you want anything for Christmas? No.
No.
Yes.
Don't worry about it. Like, come on, man.
Yes, I want things for Christmas and I'm not fine.
That's right. And the expectation that someone can read your mind and then go on to do the right thing. And also the expectation that it's okay to punish someone for not reading your mind is really uncool. It's very childish, actually.
Why do we struggle so much with speaking up for what we want in our relationships? Do we want to be demanding?
Odd. Oh, yeah, I think we don't want to be demanding. I think there's that kind of trope of the high-maintenance partner. And I also think that culturally and socially in Australia, at the very least, that there's this kind of, you know, if you ask for what you want, then you're being demanding or you're being, I don't really know what it is. Yeah, high maintenance. That you're selfish, actually, is the word. You know, oh, you know, they're always asking for things. They're always, and there's a fine line, you know. Being demanding is not very
no, that's not
enjoyable.
Yeah, totally.
But being really clear about what you want. What would you like for dinner, Kaya? I'd really like to go and have Italian. I love that cuisine. Let's go to the restaurant down the road. It's easy, right? Oh, you decide. But then you go somewhere that you don't like, and you don't like it.
Yeah,
and then you get partner's about in
it.
Trouble.
Yeah,
and you don't enjoy it. It's just So. So knowing what you want and then asking for what you want. And like you said, in every area of your life, when it comes to Christmas presents, when it comes to what you'd like in the bedroom, when it comes to where you want to go for dinner, it puts a lot more responsibility on you as an individual then, because if you don't know, then how can your partner ever possibly get it right?
Yeah, and this is what you want, but it's also boundaries and what's not okay for you, right?
Absolutely. So the reverse side of that is being really clear about what you don't want and being able to say, again, with that neutrality, so that managing your state comes across all of communication, is being able to say, hey, you know, when you did that, I really didn't like it. Please don't do that again. I just don't want to have peas for dinner.
I really hate them.
I really don't like them. Please, that's my boundary line, right?
Yeah.
And having that respect within a relationship where you don't continue to do the things that are really unpleasant, like eating peas every night.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Yeah. I think a big point that comes from all of this is listening, right?
Yeah.
And being open to, in any sort of moment, whether it has been delivered in the heat of the moment, whether it's been delivered immediately after you say, this is what I want, and they say, well, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, that listening and taking the emotion out of it is super important, right?
Yeah. And look, it's really hard work. Like, I get that it's really hard work. So when I say taking the emotion out of it, let's be really clear. There are days when I sit with my partner and I'm crying and I'm and I'm not doing all of these things. But part of the management of my emotion is having the capacity to say, I'm feeling really freaked out about this, or I'm feeling really angry about this, and still delivering it in a way that's not aggressive and it's not judgmental and it's not, you know.
We have a question on the text line.
Yeah, please.
How do you deal with a partner that is so stubborn they can't say sorry? I believe in saying something once and that it's not my responsibility to get them to listen. How do I sit back and accept the fallout when it's often about something so small?
Yeah, it's really hard to navigate that balance, I think, between expressing your desires and your boundaries, and also between being graceful and accepting that people are different. You know, so there are things that you can desire from your partner that you may never get. And that can be a really challenging thing to come to terms with.
Yeah.
So, you know, without having a specific context, it's really tricky. I also think, though, that whole adversarial approach to, you know, you need to say sorry because I'm right, can sometimes create that dynamic where if you're right, then that means your partner is wrong.
So it's not about that, right? It's taking those two words. Those words are very charged, right and wrong.
Yeah,
winning,
they
losing.
Are. and, you know, they're polarizing. So, I let me just be clear. I think apologizing is a really grown up thing to do. So I'm not discounting that, but I'm saying when you can approach a problem with your partner as though it's external to both of you. So, hey, we have this thing that's happening, and I really want to work it out with you. I really want for us to work through this together. I can see you're not enjoying this. I'm not enjoying this. What are we going to do as a couple, rather than pursuing the path of making one of you wrong and one of you right?
We've talked about checking in before as well. Mm. This is part of it, right? It's hard to just have a conversation once and then that's it. You know,
100%.
You do have to, because we change, we grow together, we grow apart in some ways.
Some of us from day to day change our minds.
Oh, goodness, from minute to minute, before coffee, after coffee,
right.
In my case. Yeah. How, you know, you will have to have some conversations more than once.
Absolutely. And some of them are really challenging conversations. So, I mean, in regards to the question on the text line, I think sometimes, you know, we get ourselves into this position over time, especially if it's happened over years, where the resentment is sort of big enough that it becomes an issue that really needs to be addressed in a more formal way, rather than just, you know, chasing it down on a week-to-week basis. But if you do start with that weekly check-in or the daily check-in, hey, how was today? I know the Gottmans suggest that each week you say, hey, what can I do this week to make you feel more loved? You know, what's the one thing that would really change that for
you?
Yeah,
I'm not asking that question. I may not like the answer.
Well, but then you get to choose, you know, it's like feedback. What's the one thing that would make me feel more loved? And then you can go, no. That's not a good fit. That's not going to happen, honey.
Is it about picking battles as well? Like, we have to do that in every part of our life. Sometimes you do have to let go that they are going to leave their dirty dishes on the sink in the morning.
Definitely.
And that is just not your fight. Like, let it go, let it out. Fight somewhere else.
And, you know, we've talked about this before, that 70% of the issues in your relationship are perpetual. They're always going to be a problem. Like, are you really, you know, on the scale of things, are you really going to get divorced over dishes in the sink?
Maybe.
I mean, some people,
it really
matters. Yes. Right? We bought a dishwasher. That solved that problem.
Excellent.
Quite nicely. being clear about what you want, being clear about what you don't want, and then also having the grace to know that maybe you're never going to get to a point where you agree on everything, no matter how well you communicate it. Because communication isn't about logicking your partner into a place where they see that you're right.
Yes.
It's about gaining an understanding of them and sharing an understanding of you with them as well.
And it'll make the other conversations that you have, like if you can do this on a really small scale, it makes the big conversations a lot easier, right?
Absolutely. So the more often that you do the little ones, the easier the big ones become. So then the other third area, just quickly, Kaya, you've got giving and receiving feedback, the desires and boundaries. And the other one is what the Gottmans called love maps. And that's about understanding your partner. So knowing what they like, knowing what they don't like, what's your favorite color, what's your favorite food, where would you like to go, you know, what travel would you like to do, what dreams do you have for the future, who's your favorite relative, who's your least favorite relative, but knowing their life and knowing their change, not just doing it when you first start dating and then thinking that you know.
Yeah.
Continuing.
And that changes.
Because
we all change, and that's what makes communication so complicated, right? It is ever-evolving and changing, and how you communicated with someone when you were 19 and first hooked up is very different to now that you're 30 with two kids.
Not always, but hopefully that does evolve.
Yeah.
It doesn't always.
Oh, Tara, it's a weird and wonderful world, our relationships and how we relate with others. Thank you so much for talking us through the important thing of communication. I think that there is something that we can all take from that and start working on it. Right now, I think the one that I take from it is, I don't know what I want for dinner. What do you want? Yes, that's my real name.
Be decisive.
Voice. Yeah. We'll catch up with you next week. Thanks, Tara.
Thanks, Kaya.
Tara Whitewood there, our relationship coach with The Sugar Doctor.